many of you remember the song from maybe Bible school or Sunday school as a kid? The B-I-B-L-E. Oh, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, on the B-I-B-L-E. I think I got the tune a little off, but you get the gist. This familiar children's song reflects our Protestant belief in the Bible as our foundation for faith and practice. As we've said before, we are celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, when Martin Luther nailed his famous 95 Theses to the door at Wittenberg and ignited a theological movement that changed Christianity for centuries to come. We're commemorating this historic event in worship by learning about the different reformers, singing hymns, praying prayers, and incorporating other elements of the Reformation into our worship in the month of October. It's also not too late to join our adult Sunday school class, where we'll be studying the Protestant Reformation as well. Shameless plug. And to begin the season of focus on the Reformation, I'll be preaching a sermon series on the theological teachings of the Reformation, the five famous solas, or onlys of the Reformation. I started this series last week and I'm continuing it today. The five solas are sola fides, by grace alone, or by faith alone, sola gratis, by grace alone, sola scriptura, by scripture alone, sola Deo gloria, to God's glory alone, and solo Christo, through Christ alone. These are the hallmarks of the Protestant Reformation and their theology, their teaching. Last week, we examined solo Christo, or salvation through Christ alone. And today we'll be looking at sola scriptura, scripture alone. The Bible alone is our foundation for faith and practice. Now, we read the Bible in church every Sunday, but we may not know a whole lot about how the Bible came to be, so I want to just give us some very brief general understandings of the Bible. Basic facts. The word Bible comes from the Latin biblia and the Greek biblios, meaning book, literally the book. And it's actually a collection of books, like a library. If you have a Bible in your home, you have a library. There are 66 books total, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. A testament meaning covenant, which is a special binding relationship that God makes with God's people. In the Old Testament, we have the story of God's covenant with the nation of Israel for the redemption of humankind. And then the New Testament, the story of God's new covenant through his son, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, and Jesus' early followers, the church, which continues this story that was begun in the Old Testament and continues it, fulfills it. There's one overarching theme of the Bible, as one commentator puts it: God made us, God loves us in spite of our rebellious attitude toward him, and God wants to reconcile us to himself. So what does the doctrine of sola scriptura have to do with this, and why is it so significant? We're going to look at that today. So a little bit about the historical background. One of the key factors influencing the Protestant Reformation was a return to the scriptures alone as a source of faith and practice for the church. Since the Christian church's inception, the Bible was the focus of belief and practice for Christians. However, over time, the church was influenced by writings from other aspects, other teachers from Christian tradition, and some of these were elevated to the same level as the Bible. Also, as the Roman Catholic Church became the dominant religious entity in Europe, the Holy Roman Empire ruled over the nations of Europe, and church and state were not separate in those days, they were intertwined. So the Pope became both the most important political and religious figure in the land. And the office of Pope was believed to have traced its line back to Peter, when Jesus promised Peter, "Upon this rock I shall build my church." And Catholics believe in this line of succession from the Pope back to Peter. And they give the Pope certain authority to speak on behalf of the church to set certain doctrines. This doctrine of papal infallibility was not codified as a Catholic doctrine until the late 1500s, but it was definitely a strong belief in the Catholic Church at the time of the Reformation. Prior to the Reformation, the Bible was put on the same level as church tradition, in the words of the Pope. Moreover, the Bible existed only in Latin and could only be read by those who had the formal training to read and study Latin. It was translated from the original languages of Hebrew, from the Old Testament, and Greek in the New Testament, predominantly. So the Bible only existed in Latin and could only be read by those who could read it, and regular people did not have access to the Bible in their own language. We sort of take for granted that we have pew Bibles, and you can go to Barnes & Noble and buy a Bible, or get one off of Amazon.com and carry it around with you and open it up and read it. But that was not the case for many Christians throughout a lot of church history. So when the Reformers began reading and studying the Bible for themselves, they began to challenge the beliefs in the Catholic Church and in the authority of the Pope, and began to advocate for moving the church back to the Bible alone as the basis for Christian faith and practice. The most important early Bible translation was the Latin Vulgate. This became the official Bible of the Roman Catholic Church for more than 1,500 years. The Protestant Reformation was influenced by the Bible beginning to be translated in the vernacular, that is, the language of the common people. Reformers such as Martin Luther and John Wycliffe began translating the Bible into German and English, the common language of everyday people, giving them the opportunity to read the Bible for themselves in their own language. At the same time, the invention of the printing press by Gutenberg enabled text to be mass-produced, giving rise to the mass printing of the Bible in everyday language of the people. Now, many people who had never had access to the Bible before could read it and understand it in their own language. This led to the persecution of many translators and Bible being burned by the Roman Catholic Church, who felt its power threatened by this new development. Now that average people could read and understand the Bible for themselves, it posed a threat to the religious establishment. As many people had access to the Bible in their own language, the Reformation spread throughout Europe to the British Isles and eventually to America. Many Bible translators were martyred for their work. Now, it may seem strange in a day when Bibles are so readily available in bookstores, in hotel rooms, and on the internet that 500 years ago, William Tyndale was burned at the stake for publishing the New Testament in English. Tyndale gave his life so that even the boy that drives the plow in England was able to read and understand the Bible. Other scholars note that within 50 years of Tyndale's death, no greater moral change ever passed over a nation than passed over England. England became a people of the book, and that book was the Bible. As of September 2016, the full Bible has been translated into 636 languages, and the New Testament alone has been translated into over 1,400 languages, and Bible portions or stories into another 1,100 languages. So there are over 300 English translations of the Bible alone, and new ones seem to come out every day. So we certainly have access to the Bible that we didn't have before, and this was largely due to the work of the Reformers in translating the Bible into languages people could read and understand. So why is it so important to read and understand the Bible? Well, the Bible is central in Protestant tradition. We believe it's central to understanding God and ourselves and Jesus Christ and God's plan of redemption for humankind. It helps us understand ourselves and the purpose in the world. More importantly, it tells about God and God's purposes for human beings. It's God's special self-revelation to us. We can't know God accurately without God revealing God's self to us. And primary means of self-disclosure is through the scriptures. Theologian J.I. Packer said, "Christianity is a religion that rests on revelation. Nobody would know the truth about God or be able to relate to him in a personal way had not God first acted to make himself known. The 66 books of the Bible are together the record, interpretation, expression and embodiment of God's self-disclosure. A better understanding of Scripture will help us better understand God and how we relate to God. Just like in building a human relationship, we need to get to know another person by learning about them and interacting with them. And it's the same in our relationship with God. We need to learn about God and interact with God to build a relationship with God. And the Bible is the key to doing this. We believe the Bible is both inspired and authoritative. We read in 2 Timothy 3:16 that the Bible is inspired, which is literally God-breathed. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. God authored the Scriptures through human authors under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and it contains God's revelation of himself. The Bible was written by human beings, but also by God, not one or the other, but both. The Bible was not dictated word for word by human beings, but written by human beings in their own words under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we say the Bible is 100% divine, but also 100% human at the same time. That can be hard for us to fully grasp and understand, but it's important that we receive this by faith and seek to understand that it's a human book, but also a divine book. In the Bible, there were books written by particular people in particular places at particular times that reflect the cultural influences of their times, but are still fully God's word communicated through God's inspiration. And because the Bible is God's word, it's also authoritative. Now, what does this mean? J.I. Packer says the Christian principle of biblical authority means that all our ideas about God should be measured, tested, and when necessary, corrected and enlarged by reference to Bible teaching. Christians believe the Bible is the standard for our faith and practice, for our beliefs and our behavior. Packer says authority as such is the right, claim, fitness, and by extension, power to control. Authority in Christianity belongs to God, the Creator, who made us to know, love, and serve him. And the way of exercising authority over us is by means of the truth and wisdom of his written word. In one of our confessions, the Westminster Confession, which is part of our Presbyterian Book of Confessions, it says of Scripture, it's the whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for God's glory. Human salvation, faith, and life are either expressly stated in the Bible or can be deduced through the Bible. God is the creator and ruler of all things. Therefore, what God reveals in Scripture is binding for us as human beings. God has the authority to set the standard and has set the standard with Scripture. The Bible ultimately points us to Jesus, the Word made flesh, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Scripture points us to Jesus, reveals Jesus, God's Son, the Messiah, reveals who he is. Jesus followed the Scriptures perfectly, something we cannot do, and embodies the Scripture, and ultimately fulfills the Scripture. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus is the Word of God incarnate. If we look at Jesus, we'll see what God is like. And Scripture ultimately reveals Jesus and how we can know Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps us in our interpretation of Scripture. We believe that by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we can read and understand the Bible for ourselves. That we do not need church authorities to interpret it for us, although we do recognize that there are people called to different church offices that are charged with helping us to learn and study the Scriptures. But our words are not ultimate. It is God's word in Scripture that is ultimate. So the Bible is the book of the Christian faith. It is God's self-disclosure for Christians. Many books were written in different languages over thousands of years, but They maintain one overarching theme that God made us, loves us in spite of our rebellious attitude, and wants to reconcile us to himself. The Bible is God-breathed and authoritative and tells us everything we need to know about our faith and practice as Christians. The Bible, God's word, is powerful. I once read a story about the famous missionary, Dr. David Livingstone, started his trek across Africa. He had 73 books and 3 packs weighing 180 pounds. After the party had gone 300 miles, Livingstone was obliged to throw away some of his books because of the fatigue of carrying all that baggage. You can imagine carrying that many books and that much weight trekking across Africa. And as he continued on his journey, his library grew less and less until he had left but one book, the Bible. And that one book, the Bible, made a huge difference. It's recorded that Livingstone only converted one person to Christ in Africa, a native named Shishili. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. Livingstone translated the scripture into the native language of the tribe, and then his convert taught the Bible and the Christian faith to his tribe, and then many people came to faith. And this did more to propagate Christianity in the 19th century in southern Africa than virtually any other single European missionary. And the church in that part of Africa is still alive and active today because Dr. Livingstone and his convert and the power of the Bible. The power of the Bible in people's own language that they could read and understand. And so, brothers and sisters, during this commemoration of the Protestant Reformation, let us hold dear to the principle of sola scriptura. Scripture alone is the inspired rule for standard, our standard for faith and practice. May we embrace this and read and study God's word on our own and not take for granted that we have God's word in our own language that we can read and understand. Let us commit to reading and studying God's word. And may God bless this message to our hearing. Amen. I invite everyone now to stand. Let us affirm our faith together with an affirmation from the Second Helvetic Confession. Please join with me. We believe and confess the canonical scriptures of the holy prophets and apostles of both testaments to be true word of God, and to have sufficient authority of themselves, not of men. For God himself spoke to the fathers, prophets, apostles, and still speaks to us through the Holy Scriptures. And in this Holy Scripture, the universal Church of Christ has the most complete exposition of all that pertains to saving faith. In this respect, it is expressly commanded